All right. Are we on? All right. Here we go. Easter 3. Easter 3 is one of my favorite Easters because Jesus is our blessing and constant surprise. Jesus is risen and we shall arise. Give God the glory. We waited 40-something days to say that, right? Let's pray. Let us too stand in the temple and hold God's Son and embrace Him, and that we may deserve to leave, to withdraw, and start on our way toward a better land. Let us pray to God, to all-powerful, and to the little Jesus Himself, whom we so much want to speak to and hold in our arms. His our glory and power, now and always. Amen. Christmas prayer, of course. Who's this talking about? This prayer?
Simeon.
Okay, sure. All right, Simeon. He holds Jesus and says, "Now let us thy servant depart in peace, right, according to your word." But I felt like this prayer had everything to do with what I want to talk about for the next 5 Sundays starting today. And that is leave to withdraw and start on our way toward a better land and what that means for us. So what do I want to do? I don't know if Pastor Byans is here. Is he here today? There he is. I don't want to talk about Pastor Byans or else I'll start crying. It's too good. It's too good. So I stole this little thing on the top from him. He's very good at telling us where we're going. Pun intended, because that's what this whole Bible study is about. On the move, where are we going? What do we need? Then I want to talk about 4 biblical stories. The Exodus, Jacob and the angel, Jesus and the paralytic, and then the Emmaus Road. All of those stories have movement, going somewhere. With somebody. So I felt like those were good stories for us to talk about journey and what journey means in the Christian life. It was perhaps God ordained that we start with Emmaus Road today in the sermon and in the reading, and we end with Emmaus Road in the final study. I don't want to talk about the Emmaus Road because if I do, I won't stop. So we'll leave that till the last session. If you got today's bulletin or any service folder in any week and you do this to it, and everything that talks about or relates to journey or wandering or exiling or walking falls out, you'll have almost nothing left in here. And talking about going somewhere or being on a road, because the Scriptures and the Christian tradition have been chock full of talking about life with God as a life on a road, or life far away from the homeland, or a journey toward the homeland. We hear this all the time, and sometimes it goes right over our heads because we just hear it so often. This Sunday particularly is like a prime example. Acts obviously is all about going places and doing things. 1 Peter, exiles. You have that language right there. The psalm, or so you prayed, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That's movement. Walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And then finally, the road to Emmaus, which I said I won't talk about, and I won't. All of those things, movement, movement, movement. So let's jump in. What am I talking about? Today is an intro session. I won't get too deep into any biblical stories, but I'm going to lay the groundwork for what I'm talking about. There's only one story in Scripture. You've heard that line. And everybody's vying, apparently. All pastors here at St. John are vying to tell you what that story is. So I have bowed down to all of the other pastors and given them the priority while still inserting my own thing. So here you go. There's only one story of Scripture, and that story is you are on a divine journey home with Jesus. Now here's where a nod to Pastor Bruzek. Home is where you are gifted life and never death. So there's only one story in Scripture, from death to life. Home is where life is. And then a nod to Pastor Nelson. There's only one story in Scripture. God wants to marry you. Home is where Jesus is there to marry you, carrying you through the threshold. And it is at that home, at the Lamb's feast, at the marriage feast, that you live forever in peace with Christ, who brought you out of death to life and who married you. It's all one story, spoken in different ways, biblical ways of speaking. So let's keep moving. Christian life is a life of movement toward, never, ever, ever stagnant. And that is the central point of this study, is for us to view the Christian life as always moving. We're always moving. We're always moving. Stagnant is boring, and Jesus and his church are never, ever, ever boring. We give ourselves license to be boring as the body of Christ when anytime we open the Gospels, Jesus is always doing, and there's always a group of people behind him following him. And so when we choose to not be that group of people following behind him, are we doing the things Jesus is calling us to do? Are we being boring? And again, that's not Jesus. And movement has been a fundamental part of the story of the people of God, found in Scriptures, no pun intended, from beginning to end. Clearly movement. If there's a beginning, there's an end. There's something going on in the middle, right? Movement is required to get from the beginning to end. This study, I'm telling you what the study is. I'm going to tell you now what the study is not. I didn't put that on the handout. The study is not about what the end looks like. I'm not very interested in talking about that during this study. What happens when I reach the end? We can talk about that. Send me an email. I'll be very happy to talk about it. I'm very interested in us talking about the journey and what the Christian life from the beginning of your life with Christ to that very last day, what that middle looks like. Because boy, can we forget about that. There are some traditions, there have been some traditions for a long time, very long time, and still are, that focus on the end. Everything's about the end. The end becomes everything, right? So then here's the beginning. And this part is not really talked about. For some traditions, that part is even not worth anything. I'm just a bag of bones. What really matters is the spirit. What really matters is me being in heaven with God. All of this stuff, not worth anything. So I'm really focused on this, and this is all I care about. I don't think that's fair to talk scripturally. The end is the goal, and Christ is bringing us there. Yes, he is. Amen. He's bringing us there. He's holding your hand, walking there, but you're walking there to this place. And you forget about the walk, you might lose some things. We're going to talk about those things either. This was in one of the last pages today in our... Again, remember I said if you shake this, things about walking and journeying and exiling are going to fall out and you're going to be left with nothing. It is on the very last page by Antonio Machado. Se hace camino al andar. The way is made by walking. Oh, that was so beautiful. You stop walking, there's no way. The study is not about what a marriage feast of the Lamb is going to look like. The story is not about what happens when you die. What does that rest look like? We can talk about that, but we won't talk about it in these sessions. I'm very interested in this middle part. And it starts with, and this is Pastor Abruzzo's big line, right, from the Catechumenate. You are here, dead, and here is life and Christ. And then what does he like to put on this line here, remember? Moved. So I heard somebody saying into, right? And he likes to talk about into as being movement. You are picked up from here and you're put here. Oh man, and if, can I use this? Okay, I'll promise not to spill it. All right, this is just a Gatorade bottle. Kept rolling, momentum. See what I'm saying? I like to imagine that as that's what Jesus is doing to us, and he keeps us moving. He's not just doing this, and then he's walking away. I like to think that this brings us to life, and we just keep on moving with him. We just on moving. This is not a place that you get stagnant. No way. You keep moving. He's picked up. He's done all of the hard work for you to move and keep walking and keep journeying through this world. So, getting from point A to point B, middle of page 2. Getting from point A to point B has been deemed ordinary. Many times, point B becomes the only focus. Like taking somebody to the ER. No time to journey. There are times in our life that there's really no time to journey. When you're about to have a baby, right? And you have to drive her to the hospital. There's really not much time to stop and look at a deer crossing the road or turkeys or whatever. You got to get somewhere. The ER, you got to get somewhere. Yes, there are times in our lives where enjoying the road is not the priority, but this is the priority. But those are exceptions. This is where we lose the plot, where the walk becomes too familiar. The actual walking, the actual journeying becomes just a thing, just one more thing. There's no fresh smells. There's no wondering or wandering. I'm not going to talk about that too much. That's what I did last year's Bible study on. But all the good stories involve a journey. And the journey is essential to reaching the goal. So I gave you a few things that we all know. Odyssey, Hobbit, basically all the Chronicles of Narnia, Don Quixote, Canterbury Tales, Moby Dick, Saving Private Ryan, Interstellar, The Revenant. Anybody, what's that map on the bottom of that page? Yeah, exactly, Middle Earth, and you got Bilbo Baggins there and back again. Right, these authors actually give you a map in the beginning of their books, or in the middle, or at the end. They can open up and say, oh yeah, he went from here to here to here. Lord of the Rings would be nothing if not for the actual middle part. Right, if it was just about getting the ring from Hobbiton to Mount Doom, that's not worth the price of admission. Or the price for the book. It's really not. Might sound silly, but that's my point in this entire study. Jesus is putting you here today in the third Sunday of Easter because he's got work for you to do. His holy work that's part of the journey. You are not here to go through the motions just so you get to point B. I'll say one more thing about that. If we are only focused on point B, heaven, eternal rest with Christ, the marriage feast of the Lamb, if that is our only focus, is it a focus? It better be. Is it your only focus? It better not be. Because Jesus actually made Marge, and if I pretend like she's not here or anybody else is here and I'm only focused on getting there, I'm not honoring God's creation. See where I'm going with here? And God gave us his creation to love and honor and care for. So when we put blinders on and we only focus on what's over there, we forget about the things that actually God put in our lives and in our journey getting there. So last year we discussed the loss of wonder in ourselves. How little we are marveled or surprised. And I think these two points are connected, the journey and the marveling. In order to journey, we must be prepared to learn something while on the way. And that is the most difficult point of journeying, is learning. Period. This is the most difficult part. Because I already learned everything over here about this, about the end. So this really is just buying time until I get to here. We are asked to learn in ways that are very, very, very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Ways that we don't want to. That's what makes the journey hard. Because as we're going to see in the scriptures, some of the examples in the next couple of weeks, people are learning about their walk with God in ways that hurt them, that hurt what they think is right, that hurt their pride, that make them question what they thought was right or wrong. And in a majority, in all of the examples in Scripture, if people just say, you know what, God, you are right. This journey is beautiful. Let me just say one more thing about the journey. Your journey's not yours. Your journey is everybody else's. Because we're the church and we look at everybody else. And that can sound either like a bad thing or a good thing. And this is how it can sound like a good thing. Man, isn't Sue an example? Look at everything that she's gone through in her life. And she's an example in the faith. Look at all of the ways that she could have let go. And she could have said to Jesus, I don't know about that. I don't like that. I don't like your way. Your road. I'm doing my own thing. So when you live your life with Christ, you are an example to everybody else at church. So that journey is not just yours. Everybody else is involved in it. And that's something else that we're going to talk about, specifically in the Exodus story, in the paralytic story. There are other people involved who are looking at you, and that might seem like a lot of pressure, but that's why the church journeys together. Nobody is alone. Everybody is locked arms. And that should be comforting. And in order to be comforting, you have to step out of your zone of comfort. Maybe this isn't the road I should be taking. I should be taking Jesus' road that requires this learning. Learning is another word for maturing, right? Alien versus wayfarer. What's the difference between one and the other? The difference I'm going to make. Both are in foreign lands, unfamiliar territory, not belonging. But alienation can be seen as a failure to love God and a refusal to adhere to the order which he has given. This can lead us to an attachment of things below, since one had refused the things from above. God, Right? So alienation is you choosing to be on your own without Jesus and his church and the good things he has for you. Or the scripture does, if you read some, like 1 Peter, there's some words he uses that can be translated as alien, exiles. But I'm going with the specific definition of alien as being alienated from Jesus and his community versus the wayfarer or the sojourner or the traveler who has an exact end goal and travels to get there. He's not wandering aimlessly. That's a big difference. We are not aimless wanderers. And perhaps that can be the scary thing about traveling or seeing yourself as a sojourner or seeing yourself as a pilgrim, is that it seems like you have no stability. What's the famous Luther line from, when was it? 1521, 1517, when he's in front of the Diet of Worms. What does he say? What's the famous line he says? Here I stand. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to stand. Now you're telling me to journey, right? So we have these two competing verbs, journeying and standing. And no, obviously, they are not antithetical to one another. Standing in your faith means you know exactly who your guide is. You know exactly who your shepherd is. You know what his voice sounds like. Standing in the faith does not mean, since I know all of this, I'm going to stand over here and not go after where Jesus is leading me with my life. Do I stand firm or do I walk? Right? The way is made by walking. No, they're not antithetical, obviously. Sometimes we think standing is enough, right? I'm just standing. I'm just standing in my faith. I already believe in Jesus. I have my routines. I know what I do. I know what I like to do. I know what I don't like to do. And I believe in Jesus, and that is enough. That is not how the story goes in the Gospels with Jesus and his followers. Standing around is not enough. Okay. Interestingly, this article that I read says the fallen angel was the first alien, Lucifer. I don't want to go the way God is telling me to go. Alienating himself from God's ways and God's will. So the wayfarer attaches his heart to reaching that land. And again, this is where we could fight about wording, and we can. But the way I chose to write this is his heart is attached to reaching that land, and I could have written his heart is attached to that land. And I didn't want to do that because this is important too, and not just this. This is why you're still here. This is why all of us didn't die at the day of our baptism. You're baptized? Well, we did. Just making sure that those folks were waiting for me to slip up, heard that. Yes, we did. Even more beautiful. But we were given new life. And at this life, we go. We get up and we go. Pa, 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 pa. That's what this is all about. Reaching that land, not the transitory comforts of the world. Because you're going to say to me, Pastor, you're now attaching yourself to the world instead of the goal. That is so much not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we are easily missing opportunities in this world that Jesus puts in front of us in our walk if we just keep our eyes here and not look down to where we're stepping. He does not get bogged down with the minutia of the world because he knows something greater is to come. There are two types of company. You can have company that is misleading or life-giving. The alien's company is misleading. He's chosen to alienate himself. While the wayfarer's company is life-giving. It's you. Look to your left, look to your right. That is the company that Jesus has put next to you to walk with you. So then the two synonyms. Journeying is growing. These two words can be synonymous. You grow in love, in hope, in patience, in prayer, in generosity, in maturity, in trust, in faith. And all this happens when you embark on the way and choose not to sit by the side of the road, but actually walk with Jesus and his church. So then we get to, we have some 1 Peter coming up. If you walk on the way that Jesus has for you, you will grow in the ways that Jesus has for you to grow. Sometimes journeying can be a more concrete way to speak, because we all walk. We all know what it's like to get from one place to the other. Every single one of you has done that today, from the short walk up the stairs up here to the drive, from the walk from your room to the bathroom. I mean, all these things sound very trivial, but all of those things aren't actual journey. That's why journeying is so concrete. That's why speaking like this, that's why in scriptures, when God is just talking about choosing life, he talks about it as walking with God. Because we all know what walking is. We all know what falling is. We all know what walking in pain is. We all know what not being able to walk is. So walking is so powerful. Journeying is so powerful. So much less for us than it was for maybe 5, 6, 7 generations. Milena's grandmother, she's hilarious. She grew up in, she lives and grew up in rural Nowheresville, Brazil, where not everybody had enough horses for the 12 kids you have. So some people needed to walk to church. And walk to church was a long walk. It was maybe 1.5, 2 hours just to walk to church. So I love to joke with her, because Milena's neighbors with her grandmother. And it's not a long walk. It's maybe from here to Wheaton College and back. And every time Milena and I walk to her house, I go to her, "Can you believe I walked all the way from Milena's house to come and see you?" And she, of course, explodes, because she's like, "Oh, you think that's walking? I'll tell you what walking is." Just because I like to, and she loves to be picked on, because she likes to pick on people too. She's one of those, you'll never have the last word when talking. In the best way, in the funniest way. I mean, not in an argument. But for us, walking is much less common, while that's all that Jesus did when he was not on a donkey. Right? There was walking involved. And for us, that's become, it's what we can see out of our driver's windows or passenger windows or the steering wheel or listening to what's going on the radio. And nothing wrong with that, but our concept of journeying and biblical walking perhaps are diminished, yours and mine, because we don't live in that reality anymore. To walk, to actually walk and hear and see what's going on around us and get to think and rethink in our hearts what's been mulling around in our thoughts, right? Walking gives you time to think. Walking gives you time to reassess things. And I don't think any of that is by happenstance. I think those are actually things that are ingrained in us and put in us. And that's why the biblical life is so much talked about as a journey, because we have to reassess things. We have to tune things up. We have to straighten up and not be slouching, right? Or get up from, or grab somebody. Plenty of stories in the Bible. Grab somebody who's next to us who needs some help walking too, Right? Somebody's laying down by the side of the road. You know the story. So sometimes journey can be more concrete a way to speak, for we all walk. We know what it feels like. We know what getting lost is, or stumbling, or what the reaching of the goal feels like. We'll do the growing Bible study another time, but I'll do throw you a bone. 1 Peter, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up into salvation. Oh, now here's such a beautiful line. If you indeed have tasted, actually in your mouth, that the Lord is good. You make the connections. If you have tasted it. Again, this is not a tasting or growing Bible study, but it's a... But then we turn to 1 Peter still, and look how he starts talking. Right away, from the get-go, who is he writing to? The exiles. In Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God, the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus, for the sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Peace be with you. Right? Easter. And then he continues. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each deed, you will conduct yourself with fear throughout your time. Where? In your exile. You're not there yet. You're not there yet. So, there are ways that you act before you're there. 1 Peter still. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to... This is where he's giving you instructions. All of the letters. I've Pauline, Johannine, Petrine, all the letters or the other letters... A lot of it is about this. And if we think that all of this is just so you can get here, you might lose the plot. What you're doing here is God's work. And it's valuable, more valuable than gold and silver. What you do in the middle is God's work. So for you to say, I'm just doing this so I can get here, that's transactional, that's not Lutheran, that's not this church, that's not Scripture. I'm only doing this so I can get here. It's not a transaction, folks, right? If it were, I don't know. See how it can start to get, I'm only walking here so I can hear it. Then everything becomes meritorious. And it's not. It's not. It's not. It's not. It's not. God has already given you life. Jesus has already given you himself completely. Now you play. Now you journey. Now you go to work. Now you live the life Christ has given you to live. Is this the goal? Absolutely it is. It's our rest. For they labor from their rest. Oh, it's beautiful. It's one of my favorite Bible verses, Revelation. But we rest from this. We rest from all the beautiful stuff we do. All the difficult things that we go through. No more tears. No more pain. All right, that's Revelation 2. Exiles, abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Hey, guess what? Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. So that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God at the day of visitation. So God's people have always been people of journeys. Even in Eden, you might say, huh, but in Eden, it seems like they were all in one place, not going anywhere. Well, it seemed like they had a lot of work to do. No, they were not journeying to a better land, but they had to tend and keep and care for creation. And they had joyous work to do, and they had to keep moving if they were going to do what God gave them to do. More examples. Abraham, Exodus, in no particular order. Ruth, Naomi, Jonah, the exile. Prophets, always moving around. David, always running away or towards something. Mary and Joseph, the wise men. Mary to Elizabeth. What a beautiful story. Imagine that. Jesus' entire life, the apostles and you and me. So where are we going? Well, here are a bunch of ways to talk about it. A building from God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. A city that's got foundations, whose designer and builder is God. A city that has no need of sun or moon to shine for the glory of God, gives it light and its lamp is the Lamb. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare. Would I have not told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And blessed are those who die in the Lord. From now on, blessed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. It's a journey home, right? That's why I like that. That phrasing is just beautiful. It's divine. It's a house. That's how they speak about it. And we're all going home. Going home. Till last page. How do we get there? But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, not my words, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And this I confess to you. Now this is Paul talking. Very funny. This is Acts 9, right? It's Saul. And he's killing all everybody in the way, wants to get them. But now is actually Paul talking in Acts 24, a very different Paul. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they over there call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written by the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and unjust. So there is a way that Christians are put on. And this way is a path, a road that leads to life with Christ, while he himself is our guide. The way, one of the first ways the Christians were ever referred to. People who follow the way. And if you're on the way, you are moving. There's no other way about it. So what I end with is this icon. I wanted an icon originally of Jesus and Joseph and Mary going to Bethlehem with Mary, with Jesus in Mary's belly. But this came up and I thought, I like that so much more. Here is baby Jesus or toddler Jesus. It's like, that's the best, man. That's what you want right there. That is what you want. Walking and Jesus right there. Whether he's pulling you by the hand, whether you're in his arms, whether he is in your belly because you just walked out of here with the Holy Supper, whether it's the baby Jesus and you want to put him on your shoulders, like that depiction is just wonderful. It's so sweet. It's so beautiful. And they're walking the way, and Jesus is there. I'll reiterate my first point so we can go. A church that is stagnant is not a church that we ever see in the scriptures. We never see a stagnant church receiving laud and honor in scripture. The church is moving. We are never happy, and I'll say this in other ways when we get there. The church is never happy just doing the same old that we've done for 50, 60, 70 years. Are some of those things beautiful and worth it? Absolutely. Are those the only things that we should be doing? Absolutely not. Because new opportunities arise for the church to do beautiful things with what she has from Jesus. So we're not sitting around twiddling our thumbs. What can we do? Where's the church needed? Where can we speak Christ? Who can we touch? Who can we help? Who's coming here? Who's listening to us? We always got to be aware of what's going on around us so that our walk can be fruitful and not just sitting with twiddling our thumbs waiting for this. There's no waiting. It's walking. It's figuring out where Jesus wants us. That's why this is beautiful. This is not beautiful. This is one of the ugliest boards I've ever seen in my life. But where you get the point. All right, let's pray and let's go. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All right, folks, love you. Let's go to church.